Chapter 19. Good morning, sir, apostrophe said Miss Cox, very coldly. Joe Bagstock, ma'am, apostrophe observed the major, with his usual gallantry, has not had the happiness of bowing to you at your window, for a considerable period. Joe has been hardly used, ma'am. His son has been behind a cloud. Apostrophe, Miss Cox inclined her head, but very coldly indeed. Joe's luminary has been out of town, ma'am, perhaps, apostrophe inquired the major.
I, out of town?
Oh no, I have not been out of town, apostrophe said Miss Cox. I have been much engaged lately. My time is nearly all devoted to some very intimate friends. I am afraid I have none to spare, even now. Good morning, sir. Apostrophe, as Miss Cox, with her most fascinating step and carriage, disappeared from Princess's Place, the major stood looking after her with a bluer face than ever, muttering and growling some, not at all complimentary remarks. Why, damn, sir, apostrophe said the major, rolling his lobster eyes round and round Princess's Plus, and apostrophizing its fragrant air, 6 months ago, the woman loved the ground Josh Backstock walked on. What's the meaning of it? Apostrophe, the major decided, after some consideration, that it meant man traps, that it meant plotting and snaring, that Miss Cox was digging pitfalls. But you won't catch Joe, ma'am, apostrophe said the major. He's tough, ma'am, tough, is J.B. tough, and devilish sly. Apostrophe over which reflection he chuckled for the rest of the day. But still, when that day and many other days were gone and past, it seemed that Miss Cox took no heed whatever of the major, and thought nothing at all about him. She had been wont, once upon a time, to look out at one of her little dark windows by accident, and blushingly return the major's greeting, but now, she never gave the major a chance, and cared nothing at all, whether he looked over the way or not. Other changes had come to pass too. The major, standing in the shade of his own apartment, could make out that an air of greater smartness had recently come over Miss Cox's house, that a new cage with gilded wires had been provided for the ancient little canary bird, that divers ornaments, cut out of colored cardboards and paper, seemed to decorate the chimney piece and tables, that a plant or two had suddenly sprung up in the windows, that Miss Cox occasionally practiced on the harpsichord, whose garland of sweet peas was always displayed ostentatiously, crowned with the Copenhagen and bird waltzes in a music book of Miss Cox's own copying. Over and above all this, Miss Cox had long been dressed with uncommon care and elegance in slight mourning. But this helped the major out of his difficulty, and he determined within himself that she had come into a small legacy and grown proud. It was on the very next day, after he had eased his mind by arriving at this decision, that the major, sitting at his breakfast, saw an apparition so tremendous and wonderful in Miss Cox's little drawing room, that he remained for some time rooted to his chair, then, rushing into the next room, returned with a double-barreled opera glass, through which he surveyed it intently for some minutes. It's a baby, sir, apostrophe said the major, shutting up the glass again, for £50,000. Apostrophe, the major couldn't forget it. He could do nothing but whistle, and stare to that extent, that his eyes, compared with what they now became, had been in former times quite cavernous and sunken. Day after day, two, three, four times a week, this baby reappeared. The major continued to stare and whistle. To all other intents and purposes he was alone in Princess's Plus. Miss Cox had ceased to mind what he did. He might have been black as well as blue, and it would have been of no consequence to her. The perseverance with which she walked out of Princess's Plus to fetch this baby and its nurse, and walked back with them, and walked home with them again, and continually mounted guard over them, and the perseverance with which she nursed it herself, and fed it, and played with it, and froze its young blood with airs upon the harpsichord, was extraordinary. At about this same period too, she was seized with a passion for looking at a certain bracelet, also with a passion for looking at the moon, of which she would take long observations from her chamber window. But whatever she looked at, sun, moon, stars, or bracelet, she looked no more at the major. And the major whistled, and stared, and wondered, and dodged about his room, and could make nothing of it. You'll quite win my brother Paul's heart, and that's the truth, my dear, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, one day. Miss Tox turned pale. He grows more like Paul every day, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick. Miss Tox returned no other reply than, by taking the little Paul in her arms, and making his cockade perfectly flat and limp with her caresses. His mother, my dear, apostrophe said Miss Tox, whose acquaintance I was to have made through you, does he at all resemble her? Apostrophe, apostrophe, not at all, apostrophe returned Louia, she was pretty, I believe? Apostrophe, apostrophe faltered Miss Tox. Why, poor dear Fanny was interesting, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, after some judicial consideration. Certainly interesting. She had not that air of commanding superiority which one would somehow expect, almost as a matter of course, to find in my brother's wife, nor had she that strength and vigor of mind which such a man requires. Apostrophe, Miss Tox heaved a deep sigh. But she was pleasing, said Mrs. Chick. Extremely so. And she meant, oh, dear, how well poor Fanny meant. Apostrophe, you angel. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Miss Tox to little Paul. You picture of your own papa. Apostrophe, apostrophe, if the major could have known, how many hopes and ventures, what a multitude of plans and speculations, rested on that baby head, and could have seen them hovering, in all their heterogeneous confusion and disorder, round the puckered cap of the unconscious little Paul, he might have stared indeed. Then would he have recognized, among the crowd, some few ambitious motes and beams belonging to Miss Tox. Then would he perhaps have understood the nature of that lady's faltering investment in the Domini firm. If the child himself could have awakened in the night, and seen, gathered about his cradle curtains, faint reflections of the dreams that other people had of him, they might have scared him, with good reason. But he slumbered on, alike unconscious of the kind intentions of Miss Tox, the wonder of the major, the yearly sorrows of his sister, and the stern visions of his father, and innocent that any spot of earth contained a Domini or a son. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.